Hello, everybody, and welcome to the finale of South of King's Landing, the Exposure Network's Game of Thrones after show. I'm Dylan Blight. Joining me is Ashley Hobley.
Hey, Dylan. Excited to be here to talk on this episode, which is inspired by the concept of ranking things.
Inspired by the concept of ranking things. That is a decent way to describe this show, I guess, yeah. So it is time for us to look back on Season 8 and review it as a whole, where it stands in compared to the other seasons. But before we give our final thoughts on the season, we are going to take turns from position 6 to 1, so our least favorite to our favorite, and we're going to be giving our list of our least favorite to favorite episode from season 8. And then by the end of it, through the power of math and everything that be, we should have a Exposure Network's officially definitive number one episode. So I'm just going to keep track. I suppose I would just grab a, should have grabbed this beforehand, but I'll grab it now live. It's fine. I'll grab a pen and I'll keep track of where we're ranking everything here. We can figure it out as we go. So Ash, what is or was, as the, I think we can say, obviously, the person, if you've been watching South of King's Landing since the start, who obviously more favorable towards the season. I asked someone who loves every episode, what was your least favorite episode of the finale season?
I put at number 6, The Last of the Starks, episode 4.
Episode 4, right. Yeah.
Obviously, there were some moments that are a bit hard to take, and there were some awkward bits. And obviously, the episode is shrouded in controversy because of the freaking coffee cup. So
you're really ranking it lower because of the coffee cup?
Sure, why not? I mean, it gave us that moment, but I mean, it probably something that they should have noticed. But yeah, I think, that's probably the lowest of the list, I think.
All right, what about you? Yeah, I was about to say, I can confirm that I also put The Last of the Starks as my least favorite episode of the the show. Looking back, it was kind of hard because I feel like it shouldn't be too big of a spoiler to say that my top three are from a certain area of the show, my bottom three from a certain area of the 50-50 spectrum of the show. When it came to ranking the bottom three on my least favorite, it was hard. I'm like, this, you know, overall, I was like, I have things I dislike about all of the last three episodes. Like big things I kind of dislike from the last three episodes. And that's obvious, you know, I've talked about them. But then I had to, you know, make the list and I'm staring at it. I'm like, well, you know, Last of the Starks, like, I don't think it particularly had anything I liked as much as I did in the other two last three episodes. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't have a big moment that was kind of like, well, as much as I think that thing was shitty, it had this really beautiful shot or this really great character moment or so on and so forth. Just looking back on it, I was just like, this episode was just the most teleporty, nonsensical one to me, I guess, is the thing, you know?
It was definitely the bridging episode between the two.
Yeah. Parts. It was like if we had 10 episodes, this one, everything that happened in this episode, there would have been like a lot more spread out. And it was also just like, looking back on the entire season as a whole now, I can kind of go, well, the dragon death thing kind of just annoys me a little bit more because it's just, I think it's just so evident when you see the entire season play out and you can be like, the reason the dragon died was because they're like, well, fuck.
It's because he got surprised and shot in the neck 3 times.
We need a way to keep Jon on the ground. So we killed the dragon. It was basically killed for story reasons, looking back, as far as I'm concerned. So, and then that started annoying me when I was trying to make my list today. I'm like, they killed the dragon. Just, they're like, fuck. It's like they was writing in a certain, to me, it's like they was writing in a certain way. And they got to this episode and they were like, and then, you know how John next week, like that thing with Danny's got, and then they're like, oh, fuck. But why wouldn't he be on the dragon? And they're like, oh, the dragon dies the episode prior. You know, like it just seemed like a reactionary thing.
Why didn't they just write it? He dies during the long night.
That's exactly, Ash. Exactly.
It's because that's what J.R.R. Martin wants.
Exactly.
That's what old railroads wants, and that was the end of the books. And they're being super faithful, and we just don't realize it, and now he's going to change everything.
Well, I don't know. That's just one of those things. It's like the dragon death thing. It is easily solved when you just if you just have it die to all the whites in the episode prior or something. Okay. Die. Yeah. Anyway, that was my least favorite episode of the season for sure. So since that was also my least favorite, I'll just shoot it straight back to you. What was the next episode on your list here?
My number five is Winterfell, the first episode of season.
First episode. Okay.
I think out of all the episodes, it's arguably the most forgettable. I can't off the top of my head think of too much interesting other than a couple of reunions that happened in that episode. It was just a basic Game of Thrones first episode where it's just sort of setting up the season, showing where everybody was. But overall, there wasn't any cool moments or anything really important in that episode. So it was pretty close to putting this at the bottom of the list. So,
Well, I ask you, like, are you going to rank the episodes on looking back?
This is my personal preference. So.
Yeah, I know, but like using the scale of memorable things, then like the best episode would be the last two for sure, like undeniably.
Memorableness is factors in clearly.
Okay, fair enough. I had Winterfell on my list at
number three.
Correct.
Shocking.
At number three. You know, I get what you're saying. Obviously, there's nothing big that happens in it. But at the same time, looking back on it, I still think you just needed this episode because of where we left the last season off and all these other things. It's like, we need to get them into Winterfell. You need to start, like, getting the momentum moving on Dany's, like, how she's dealing with the Northerners and the fact that they love Jon more and, you know, all this sort of stuff kind of gets set up somewhat in the premiere episode, I guess. And we get like the Sansa stuff and Arya and Bran and all these sorts of things. Like, yeah, it's not super memorable, but I just thought it was if this was any other season, it would have just been a decent, you know, middle of the road episode of Game of Thrones, which every season has some. And this is just the only episode of this entire season I think you can say is just the most nothing. And I don't mean nothing as in boring, because I thought it was an okay episode.
Yeah.
But it's just the most nothing episode compared to the other five, which are all either really well liked or well hated, or at least there's something happening. You know, this is the most.
People have distinct opinions on it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So this is the most like normal episode somewhat of the season, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the most. No one loves it. No one hates it. It's just,
it's just there.
Yeah. It's just there. So,
yeah. It's the forgotten one.
Yeah. And because of that reason, that's why I'm quite happy to have it in the middle of my rankings, you know? Which,
all right.
You know, it's just a middle of the road, perfectly fine, nothing special, nothing bad, ranking in at number three. All right. You want to try and guess my what was number five on my list then?
Well, it's down to two. I'm going to say the bells.
Correct. My second least favorite episode was episode five, the bells. So, and you know, the bells is an episode. Let's put it that way. The more I look back on the season, I nearly put this one last, to be honest. It was a struggle between putting this one or The Last of the Starks. And as I was saying before about The Last of the Starks, the reason that one ended up there was because it was just such a jumping around. At least there's like nothing I liked about it at all. The bells was obviously, we talked about it at the moment where I was like, yeah, this Dany storyline's rushed for me. And, you know, looking back on the season, it's still rushed to me. Obviously, that's not gonna change. But at least with this episode, I did have some moments that stand out that are positive, like positives compared to The Last of the Starks, which that didn't have really to me. You have these like really fantastic shots throughout it. You got like these great moments of acting, you know, Pete Dinklage and all these sorts of things. And even just cinematography, the fighting, the Clegg game ball, you know, like there's a lot of positives or like okay scenes mixed amongst the stuff I don't like compared to The Last of the Starks, I suppose. Yeah. Where did you end up putting the bells though, Ash?
I put the bells at number three.
Number three?
I think, yeah. just from the pure spectacleness of it, I think it needs to be. It is visually impressive. Even just everything leading up to Danny probably turning is really, really great. You got that Tyrion Jaime scene. It was probably one of the best of the last season, I think. Mm-hmm. Tyrion just knocks Peter Dinklage knocks it out of the park. It's just an amazing accomplishment, really, because they built that whole entire city set pretty much only for them to blow it up, and then they built up this freaking golden company, and it was funny because they just wiped them out in one blast. Sure, there's the Danny thing. I mean, we all saw it coming. It probably did come faster than we expected, but that's the theme of this last season, really. Everything's rushed. There were just a lot of key moments that I really enjoyed. So, Cleganebowl, Jaime and Cersei in the basement.
Mm-hmm. You like that still, looking back? You still like that was a good scene?
Yeah, I mean, it would have helped more if they had have made it. Obviously, everybody's making jokes because when Tyrion goes in the next day, there's massive clear spaces in the ground.
Just do a dodge roll.
More bricks.
Something.
Yeah. They could have put more bricks on the floor, but yeah. Yeah. I think it was a nice way for them to go out.
Okay, fair enough.
In hindsight, more, yeah.
Well, yeah, the thing with Tyrion coming in there that kind of ruins it is that they want Tyrion to have that scene over the dead body, I guess, but
they
don't want to wait. They can't, like, work out a way to have, like, people come with
him. They just needed to put more rubble.
Yeah, they needed to, like, to have rubble for him to clear or something or bring
no,
someone.
No, just rubble over all the flat bits. There's no flat ground for him to walk through. He just has to climb over the rubble. And, you know, he accidentally steps on Cersei's face.
Crushes his skull. Yeah, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been great. What do you got at your number four position, I guess, then?
Well, my number four, which is what I suspect is your number three, is the Iron Throne. Great episode as well. Obviously, we get the Danny John scene, which I thought was very well acted and emotionally charged, and of course her dying and that. Just that opening bit where she's talking is really cool as well. Obviously, reminiscent of the Lord of the Rings, which is very works through the entire episode. Kind of everybody's been over the last week, sort of matching and showing where different scenes are similar to Lord of the Rings and that sort of thing. But yeah, I think the Bran reveal, him being called Bran the Broken, is just more funny than respectful. And then, yeah,
it's a terrible name. Terrible name. And as I said,
as much
last
as I want to try and defend it, and I
it's
I
undefendable because,
to.
Like as I said on last week's episode when I was talking about the episode, I was like terrible name because Bran the Broken, obviously. Because he's in a wheelchair straight away, he's just like, it's a bit cringeworthy. And I was wondering if it would take off. And in the week since then, yes, I have seen many people tweet about it and say how it is, and if you know, it's somewhat offensive.
But Dylan,
to say
when you break a bone and it heals, it comes back stronger.
Do you really want to go down? You want to really go down this path? You want
to? Not really. I don't have too much of a feeling on it.
Hmm. I knew that wasn't good when it was said, and I don't think it's good now still. No, I had this at four as well, because I said before I had Winterfell at three.
Oh, yeah. That's
so,
right.
Yeah, so I've the Iron Throne at four. It's funny, because that's what I'm saying. Ordering the bottom three of the season was, that's what I'm saying, it was harder. And I ended up with the Iron Throne, the season finale, as my favorite of the bottom three, which I thought was pretty funny considering it's the most disliked, like widely disliked episode of the season, obviously. But it's like, as I was saying,
it has the hardest job as well.
Yeah, like I give it, so it's like half a good episode to me is the thing. Like, and this is what I was saying,
which half?
The first half. The second half is the worst part for me. Because like I was saying last week, when I went into it and when I still try and look at it now and try and think about it, I think about it like, imagine a world where like you can start this episode, but we had the Danny reveal more built up and stuff. And like, I was trying to go into it with that kind of mindset. You know what I mean? Like not be like, oh, how did we get here so fast from last episode? I was just trying to go into it like feelings for that side. Imagine we spent more episodes building up to Danny doing what she did and then like judging how she is in this episode. And I'm like, fuck, like a world where her big turn was more slowly built up, and when she did what she did in the Bells episode was more deserving, I guess isn't the right word, but you know what I'm trying to say. Like, it just made more sense and felt deserved for her to turn. Then I just imagine the season finale starting the way it did in that world, still just being perfect. Like, there's nothing I would change about the opening of the season finale, feelings aside for how we got there. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, there's a couple of weird bits, obviously, like Grey Worm just teleporting to the top of the stairs. It still makes me go, how the fuck do you get there? But
you got lost.
Yeah, it's that aside, obviously, that's nitpicking. But that aside, her speech, her very Nazism speech, and all that sort of stuff, everyone howling, cheering, and the way it's shot, the beautiful, like, devil wing shot and all that sort of stuff, is absolutely fantastic. And I think in a different world where we got there in a much more welcome and everyone was more welcoming of how we got there, then I think everyone probably would have loved that part of the first half of the season finale a lot more, you know, because I just think there's nothing needed to be changed about that, really, in my mind, just how we got there that needs to be changed.
How much do you think they were like, it's rushed, and how much do you think it is they were going for shock value in hindsight?
I find the whole thing really weird still. And we're going to talk a little bit about this Last Watch documentary in a little bit, obviously. And I doubt that answers the questions, but you've watched that. I haven't yet, because I unfortunately didn't get the chance. But I'd like to one day know what the fuck the real story was with this, because we know HBO said 10 seasons. They were willing to basically give them as much time and money as they needed to do this show, because to HBO it was a moneymaker, right? So then the fingers do get pointed somewhat rightfully, and not to the degree that people are, death threats and like remake the show and fire them off Star Wars and all that sort of stuff. That's all fucking nonsense, and get out of here if you're on board that train. That's horrible stuff. But rightfully, the fingers do point at DB and Wires when it comes to who made the decision for the shorter two final seasons, right? That was them. And I do want to know why. Because it's like, as you're saying, like, is it shock factor? Is it just because I was sick of doing it? Is it because I felt like it actually made sense to do it this way? Is it because, there's all these reasons, and I can't like go, it's for sure this or that or whatever, because you could be right. It could be shock factor. It could be because they were bored and they just couldn't be bothered. It could be because multitude of reasons, but either way, it happened. Like, the season got cut, and people say, oh, it's because they wanted to have these big, more epic battles rather than more money spent on, longer episodes, like more episodes and stuff. They wanted to just put all the money into the battles and stuff. But I think that doesn't really make sense in the silly, because that's not how the show was successful for its first six seasons. You know, like, for the most part, we didn't have big battles until like Battle of the Bastards or any, like, we didn't have big battles. That's not why the show was popular. So to look at your audience and go,
I don't know. I feel like when Blackwater hit,
maybe that's what was got that season? A bit
more attention.
Is that season 5?
It's those big battles or those big shocking, like, obvious. Blackwater, Red Wedding were the two things that I think brought a ton of people.
Red Wedding isn't a money battle though. That's just dramatic.
Yeah, but that's a shocking thing.
Yeah, like Game of Thrones is known for its shock value. It's not known for its battles. Full stop. I don't think anyone goes Game of Thrones battles. Yeah, they're fantastic. Like, I love the Battle of the Bastards. That's one episode, and that was in season 6, right? Yes, that was the last. Yeah, season 6. So. Yeah, that's season 6, right? And up until that point, how many big battles have we had? We had like a little bit of one at King's Landing, blah blah blah. We started getting more of them from season 7 and 8. That's where all
most. Yeah, because people were actually fighting.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying we didn't need the battles. We obviously did need the battles. I'm just saying that, like, the reason that people were on board this show for seasons 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wasn't for the battles. It was for the characters and the character arcs.
But it was always leading up to the battles. So
yeah, it was always leading up to the battles. But I just think if you've got X amount of money in front of you and you say, our audience loves the character moments, we should use all the money on less episodes for bigger battles. It doesn't make sense to me. It would be like if they did it in Breaking Bad or something. Like, let's have bigger... Everyone's here for the characters. But anyway, my point is, I have no idea why they shortened the season, but I would very much like to know why the fuck they shortened the season, because it doesn't...
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me, but... it never... Maybe we'll never know. We'll never know. Never, ever know. What the fuck episode was we just talking about?
One day. Well, we talked about the bottom four... So we're on to the top two. One and two.
My number two.
I'm going to guess they're going to be the same.
My number two is episode three, The Long Night.
Mine is also episode three, The Long Night.
Okay, so our top two are going to be the same then.
Yep, they're going to be the same.
Very good. Okay. So and this is the thing. This is where I kind of, because I think... Personally, looking back on the South of King's Landing, I was definitely the more negative one out of the two of us. I don't think I'm a hater of the show, for sure. I feel like I have always tried to be...
On the scale, you're way far away from a hater.
Yeah, I'm definitely way far away from where people... Yeah, if you look at what people on the internet are saying. But I just find it funny because, like, out of the two of us on this show, I will come across as the somewhat negative one. I always feel like every episode, no matter what I've said, it's always just been constructive criticism for the most part. And I've always mostly pointed out things I liked in every episode, even if I didn't like story beats and whatever. I feel like I've been pretty fucking fair, to be honest. But where my big definitive point where I can kind of separate myself from the horde of internet haters is this episode. Because this is the episode where the internet... in quotation marks, I guess, the internet started falling off and saying the show's gone to shit. But yeah, I love this episode.
Fan base splintered.
Yeah, this is it. But I love this episode.
Yeah.
A lot. And I've watched it twice. It's the only episode I actually ended up watching twice from the whole show. Like, I found time to go back and rewatch this one episode four, between four and five, I think I rewatched it at some point. Mm. But, and I love it. All the things I said that are negative about it, that stand, you know, and some of the things that people like to point out, they obviously stand as well. And I don't care. It's one of those things where I just don't care. They're like, why did the Dothraki go off? Why all this? Characters got plot armor. I'm like, yeah. And, you know, if I was reviewing the season as a whole, which we somewhat are in this video, I would point to things if I was writing a review for the season as a whole in this particular episode, especially when it comes to plot armor. And that's the thing, you know, more characters should have died. It was a bit silly. But I love this episode. It is so epic. Yeah. It is so amazing. Just the way it's just put together with the music and the acting and the scene. And I love the way it was shot, and I can't wait to watch it. Where it's not getting sent through fucking horrible things. I've got some of these darkness. I don't mind the darkness used as a tonal thing, you know, like I understand what they were going for, but I do think that when I can watch it when it's not being sent and the signal's being fucked, it'll still be a little bit more enjoyable to watch, but I'm not fully against the whole, it's too dark to watch nonsense, blah, blah, blah. I'm kind of somewhat on board it, obviously. Arya, as I said a million times, favorite character. So obviously she's the star of the episode. So that's fantastic to me. And if there's any episode this whole season that I'll happily watch again, it'll probably be this one. And I'm probably going to do what I said when we reviewed it, which is it's up on iTunes now. And I'm like, maybe I'll buy it to see if the iTunes version is better. Just for shits and giggles at this point, basically, because that episode's and its signal thing is such a like, a news story somewhat. So now I'm just intrigued. Like, can I watch the iTunes version? Does that fix the problem? I'll buy the 4K Blu-ray, which I hope they put out. Well, they've started putting some seasons out, but I don't know if I'm... But anyway, I'll watch the 4K Blu-ray. This is the number one episode I want to watch straight away. This is my... And you'll be like, well, was it your number two? Because there are some... Like, that's what I'm saying. The plot armor things and blah, 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 blah. I had it up at number one. When I wrote my draft list, I was like, this is number one. But now I start thinking about it a little bit more. I'm like, I do love it, but there are a couple things like that annoy me a little bit. So I dropped it down instead of writing on my high. Yeah. Why is it your number two, though?
Yeah. Like you said, it's an incredible episode. One of the best battles in the entire show. Incredible singular character moments. Single-handedly redeemed Theon, I think, as a character. Yeah, and then Arya, that last 10 minutes maybe, as soon as that music kicks in.
As soon as that
in,
music kicks in, that amazing music.
Freaking incredible. Freaking incredible. You know? Just, yeah, and it ended in a way that we didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody sort of saw that coming, which was great.
Yep. Yeah, that's that last 10 minutes or whatever it is with that, when that score starts kicking in and all that sort of stuff, that was the most, like, silent on the edge of my couch I've been for the entire season. Because when it came to, like, the Dany stuff and whatever else, that was more... I was shocked when she did it, but at the same time, I was like, I don't feel right about this. Whereas the 10 minutes edge of couch for this is like, I was like, oh shit, what's going to happen? How they get out of this? Are they all about to die? Like, what's this mean for the rest of the season? You know, it was just like, but it all made sense. And then I feel like a lot of people, the point where they go off the episode is obviously when Arya comes out and kills him, just stabs him. But the reason the episode doesn't fall apart for me was because when she stabbed him, I was like, fuck yeah, Arya. You know, like, I was 100% on board with what was happening. And I feel like a lot of people fall off at that stage because they're like, well, that doesn't make sense, or fucking Arya, or, oh, really, the Night King got killed by one dagger, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, the overall, absolutely loved this episode. So then our number one episode between the both of us is episode 2, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Why is this your favorite episode of the season, Ash?
It was just perfect.
Full stop.
A chance. Yeah, pretty much. It's just a moment of everybody sort of taking a beat. Sort of all these characters that we've grown to love over 8 seasons interacting and intermingling and, you know, just the calm before the storm. That beautiful scene in front of the fire with all the different people. It gave us freaking Giant's Milk. It gave us... Brienne smiling for the first time, I think, in the entire series.
I think so.
You know? And then friggin' Pod singing like a boss. Great song. Florence
Welch song.
So, yeah, ton of great moments. And, you know?
Yep. It's so funny because, like, looking back on episodes, quite funny because I remember... Obviously, when we talked about it, it's like, this is the calm before the storm. Like, next week, so many people are going to die, blah, blah, blah. Yep. Really not many people died at all for the rest of the season. Like, obviously, like, Dany and, like, a bunch of big characters somewhat died. But I honestly feel like when I was watching this, it was kind of like, so many people are going to die. Fucking Tormund's dead. This person, Brienne's dead. Jaime's dead. Like, we thought so many people were going to die because this episode was setting such a calm before the storm, but the storm was the internet.
Yeah.
It wasn't the show. It was the internet. But yeah, this I think is one of the all-time fantastic episodes of Game of Thrones. And this episode feels like the Game of Thrones that I like. You know, this episode for the whole season is like, you know why you fell in love with this show? It's this episode. It's because you fell in love with the show for the characters. You fell in love with just watching characters interact with one another, having conversations, whatever. And this episode is just that. All it is just fucking people talking. And a lot of it, not important at all to do with the plot. It's doing nothing to move the story forward. It's doing a lot to move the character's story forward, which they kind of throw out the door from after this episode. But putting into the context of this episode, this was... The Game of Thrones that I knew and loved the most, and that's why looking back on the season, it's just it is the one where it's like this is fantastic. And also it's the most like celebratory episode. I've seen some people say it's a little bit too celebratory, like fan servicey. I don't think so. I think it's as celebratory and fan servicey as you should be allowed to be considering it's your final season of your show, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's allowed to have some of these character moments that it knows that they're doing because they know the audience wants them and will enjoy them or whatever else. But it's not like really epic or massive thing. It's just characters interacting with one another or having jokes with one another, and it's just like little things like Tyrion pouring that wine for Pod and all these like things. You're like, I like these characters, and these characters feel real. And this is the episode I think of the season where the characters just felt the most like themselves and just were just having a lot of fun together. It's like they were just got sitting around having a great time. And there was the only episode in the entire season that made me tear up as well when it came to the Brienne stuff as well. Brienne, yeah. So gets extra points for that as well. So yeah, unsurprisingly, if you can't do the maths, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is the Explosion Network's official number one favorite episode of the final season of Game of Thrones. So, overall thoughts on the season, Ash. What and where do you stand? You know, it's been a week since the finale. The internet's still calling for HBO to be taken down. I don't know what they're doing these days. I try not to read those fucking shitty articles for every second change.org thing that's made for it. But yeah. Where are you standing? You still love it? Where would you place it if you could amongst other seasons, you know?
I honestly can't remember the other seasons and how I felt about them. So just one big awesome blur. But yeah, I enjoyed my ride. I'm happy that they told the story that they wanted to tell, and I just wish we had more. That's all.
Fair enough. I would say, look, I'll be honest, right? So obviously I'm disappointed in the season. I don't feel like that's a shock to say. I'll say that I enjoyed the season, but I can say that I enjoyed it while also was disappointed. I feel like that doesn't have to knock one another out. There was enough moments I enjoyed that it wasn't like I was pulling myself through the season, bored or any, you know, or annoyed or whatever. I was enjoying it for what it was. And most of the time when it came to decisions being made or not made or whatever that I thought were silly or whatever, it's not my show. And that's the number one thing that annoys me about the petitions and all this sort of stuff where people want to change it and all the whatever else. It's like, you know, a lot of us can say, and I'm on board with, I hate associating myself with them, the internet, or whatever you want to call them, the crazy people. Because I'm like, yeah, I don't think the final season was up to par. Like, I think by far it's the worst season of the show for sure for me personally. But I don't really care. Like, I'm going to move on with my life, obviously. And if that's the way that, you know, Danny and Benioff Wise want to, yeah, D&D want to do the show, then that was their choice as the people on the show, and that's just the way it's going to be. But the other thing it got me thinking about recently was, and they're kind of somewhat apples and oranges, but kind of similar, I guess, which is there's a bunch of people out there, I suppose you can put yourself in this sort of camp, who loved the season and don't really have too many problems with it. And it reminded me of like when The Last Jedi happened and there were all the, you know, Ryan Johnson fight remake episode 8. These things are still going on. People were giving people money to remake episode 8 and all this fucking nonsense. And the amount of negativity that was surrounding it, and not critical thinking, just straight up negativity bullshit is what I want to differ at. You can, I'm not saying you have to like The Last Jedi or you have to like South of King's Land. That's the show. Game of Thrones or, you know, whatever. You cannot like something. That's fine. But I'm talking about the straight up negativity bullshit, and the amount of that was surrounding The Last Jedi drove me to the point where I kind of just started unfollowing a heap of, like, muting Star Wars on Twitter at one point because I just got sick of seeing so much stuff, and it kind of drove me away a little bit. And then the Solo stuff added on top of that, and it's like Star Wars is going shit, fire Kathleen Kennedy, all this sort of stuff. It drove me away somewhat, at least bridged a gap for me for a period of time from Star Wars, just because I thought it was nothing but negativity. So it just got me thinking recently about, like, I feel bad for the people who just love this season and are going to get drowned out by the people telling them that their opinion is wrong when they're not asking for it. And by that I mean, you know, someone could tweet something and be like, oh, I love season 8, blah 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 blah, and you know someone's just going to reply to them because they can, and be like, it's shit, you suck, or something like that. It's like, why do that? That's that's terrible. Why would you bother doing that? So that's odd. Apples and oranges, somewhat different beasts, but at the same time I thought it was relatable somewhat. Game of Thrones season 8, done and dusted. Kind of, you watch the Game of Thrones the last watch documentary, which is this HBO 100 and whatever minutes you said it was.
I haven't, 102 minutes.
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, unfortunately, as much as I would have liked to. but tell us about it, and was it any good?
It's pretty great. As a behind-the-scenes documentary, it pretty much is more focused on the actual making of, or the people who were working on the show, rather than, I think they've been doing the inside the episodes after putting them up on YouTube videos, where they've been sort of explaining what happens in the episode and the motivations, that sort of thing. That wasn't too much the focus. They just sort of go through that whole period. Although the one thing I wish they had have added was, like, noted at what times things have happened. Like, this happened in April 2017.
Oh, it doesn't give you, like, dates and months? Or
no, it doesn't give you dates or, like, the time difference, which is crazy because they keep talking about this crazy schedule that they had on it, and you've got no idea what the actual schedule was. But, yeah, incredible. One thing I really liked is they focused on one of these background extras called Andy McLeod.
Is that the guy I've seen in all the trailers with the beard or whatever or something like
that? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. He's been working on the show for 5 years. Super passionate, really in love with the show. Just, yeah, such positivity, especially after this last season with the internet. It's just nice to see somebody who's in love with Game of Thrones. The other thing is they show the table read.
I've seen that on Twitter.
People's reactions.
I saw Kit Harington's reaction.
Yeah, Kit Harington didn't read the scripts before the read-through, so all his reactions are, like, authentic. So I kind of hope they've got all that footage and one day makes it on the internet. Just so we can all watch Kit Harington react to different
Maybe moments. On the Blu-ray, the full thing.
Hopefully, that'd be great. Just Kit Harington reacting to the final season of Game of Thrones.
It's Peter Dinklage reading it too, isn't it? Is he reading the script?
I think Andrew Kogman.
Okay, it sounded like Peter, because obviously I just watched a clip on Twitter. I was like, is that Peter Dinklage?
Well, it's a read-through, so people were reading their lines.
Okay,
pretty great. Also focus on the makeup people and the incredible makeup they did through the entire last season. Obviously they had to do all the whites and then all the people covered in ash. It's also really weird to see the whites just walking around set.
I think it's weird to see the Night King just standing around.
Yeah, just chilling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, they don't focus too much on the actual cast, but Emilia Clarke, you see her getting ready every morning in the makeup chair, like getting all her hair pinned down and everything, and putting on that wig was pretty... new level of respect, because clearly she's getting up at like 3 o'clock every morning to get ready before everybody else comes in. So crazy. Although there is this one great line which I think the internet is probably going to catch a hold of. Miguel, the director of the battles episodes, he's driving the car and he's talking about not really keen on the 55 night shoots in a row or whatever. He's like, the quote is something along the lines of, It's David and Dan's fault, really. They wanted to do something bigger.
Oh. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That could feel some fire.
Yeah, that could be used incorrectly out of context. Yeah. Definitely worth a watch. If you haven't cancelled your Foxtel yet.
Or HBO or whatever.
Or HBO, yeah.
I didn't see too many people on Twitter tweeting about it today while I was out at work, and I clicked on the hashtag The Last Watch just to see what people's reactions to it were. And most of them were being like, you know, like all the haters should watch this, so they appreciate everyone's hard work and all this sort of stuff, blah, 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 blah. I feel like, there's two worlds of this, and we're living in obviously the bad version of the world, which is that this comes out and because of the negative reaction to the last season, that this documentary that I feel like in their minds when they were making was supposed to be this after the week after the finale, big hurrah, everyone will still tune in. It'll be, everyone's loved the show, big celebration. It'll be great. And now it's just like, I'm not saying crickets, but I feel like the amount of people who are going to watch this compared to the amount who would if the season finale hadn't been as polarizing.
Stuck the landing.
Is obviously... because I reckon when they were planning this, it's like the week after everyone will watch it, it'll be great, you know, like,
yeah.
But now it's just like people who either, you know, the ones who hate the show, I don't think are going to watch this. So, and that's it's obviously a very large, it's not a minority at this point, because I think that Change.org thing got up to like 3 million signatures or something ridiculous. So like, that's a lot of people.
But how many people are there just for jokes?
Yeah, and maybe all I'm saying is like, you gotta wonder like how much they're like, oh, more people might have left their subscription on for another month or something to watch this if the landing had been stuck. Yeah, just little things of interest. All right. Well, that is it for South of King's Landing, the finale. We hope that however you felt about the final season, you've enjoyed at least watching our discussions about the show. Will South of King's Landing continue? We hope so. We do hope to have more Game of Thrones related content coming in the years that follow with more shows and stuff.
Maybe.
So
that's the plan at the moment, but who knows?
Yeah. So is this show dead? Maybe. I don't. Hopefully not. Hopefully not. Hopefully it can rise from the ashes.
It's like a.
It's on.
Is there any characters we don't know are alive or dead?
No. Well, just hibernate this thing for the time. You'll hibernate. You can, of course, watch the video version for this show to see our lovely faces at youtube.com/explosionnetwork, where you should subscribe, like the video, ring the bell, your favorite episode, so you don't miss our next episode. Or if you'd rather, you can just listen to the show. It is available on all podcasting services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just search for South of King's Landing or Explosion Network. It'll show up either way. Whatever you want to do, find out other shows, find what you want to watch. We can hear Nick talk about Game of Thrones a lot more negatively than I do. You can follow me on Twitter at Viva La Dill, VivaLadill. You can follow Ash on Twitter at Ashley Hobby, SHLEYHOBLEY. And you can follow Explosion Network, which this is a production of, at Explosion Pod. Thank you for coming along on the season 8 journey. The North remembers. Bye bye.